AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
This episode of Nuff Said with Bob Kuczynski is sponsored by Chef's Famous Italian Restaurant, home of the Spaghetti Parm and located at 291 Seneca Street in Buffalo. The topic, the Buffalo Bills, and Bob's guest is longtime NFL insider Vic Carucci.
Welcome back. Nuff said with yours truly. Oh, I'm so happy to have my good buddy Vic Carucci, or Vic Carucci as I used to call him.
You and did.
Right off the top, we've got to announce Vic is being inducted into the Italian Sports Hall of Fame, which
yes.
is quite an honor. It's quite an honor for anybody, let alone for an Italian boy. With you said all four of your grandparents were immigrants.
Correct. So I guess I qualified on that front. Yeah, it's the National Italian Sports Hall of Fame. It's based in Chicago. I did not even know of its existence until a year ago when a great friend, Sal Palantonio from ESPN, was inducted, and we had him on my Sirius XM show, Sirius XM NFL Radio, where he discussed it, and then I started to look into it and see who was in there. And you know, this has been around since 1977. They have a beautiful museum in Chicago, and you start looking at the names, and of course, it strikes you how many Italians or Italian Americans have been prominent in sports. Right? You think of Joe DiMaggio and Yogi Berra, the Yankees. You think of Joe Montana and Dan Marino in the NFL. Mario Andretti in car racing. Gino Auriemma, the great UConn women's basketball coach. Phil Rizzuto. And the names just keep coming at you as you go through all those classes, and to be a part of that is so humbling. So
yeah,
the current
cool.
the current class, the class 25. Lee Corso is going in, which it just blows me away. I love Lee. Who doesn't? I think he's 90 years old and looks good. He was saw him being honored at Florida State over the weekend. They had that on TV. And Ron Francis, the hockey legend, the Hockey Hall of Famer, is also part of this class. So I am humbled. I admittedly, you know, kind of like, oh, just like the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame, we're observers, Bob. We, you know, the participants are the ones we cover. To be, you know, to be joining that group, it feels a little odd, I'm not going to lie.
You know. How fitting that we're at Chef's Italian Restaurant today to discuss this, you know. And I know you've had a few meals here.
I have.
You've had a few meals at Isla de Palos, one of our great friends. And because you're with us today, of course, you get to eat at Chef's Restaurant today and afterwards.
So I
just keeping
love that. Yes.
I wonder what they're going to have on the meal that day at the induction. You think there'll be anything Italian on the menu?
I said, if nothing else, I told my wife, because, so October 24th is the gala in Chicago. It's a black tie event. And my wife and I were joking as to what the menu will look like. But I'm guessing, you know, there will be maybe some things with sauce on it. I'm just guessing. At least one dish.
And I have one tip for you. You know, I've done a lot of dinners. I have one tip for you.
Yes.
Don't wear an ice hat to Chicago. I don't think that would be well received. Okay. The world has come to an end. The sky is falling. The Buffalo Bills have lost a football game.
Yeah.
And the negative response is overwhelming. And, you know, I was worried about this game to start with because the Patriots played them tough last year. Mm. And that was without their new coach. And May had another year under his belt. And honestly, and I'm just being superstitious here, I wasn't crazy about them going to these white uniforms for this game. I thought they looked great. But
except no one will ever wear one again.
No, exactly. So There's a lot of people, I mean, it's almost like they don't know where to start. Was it the offense? Was it the defense? I always go back to our good buddy Marv Levy. If you lose the turnover battle, the odds are so, they go so high against you for winning the football game. He's got it all figured out. And that's exactly what happened to that team.
Yeah, look, they have, for the longest time, lived on this principle of winning the turnover battle. All right, the stats say that overwhelmingly. And if you think about the Bills defense and the philosophy of Sean McDermott, I mean, something he preaches not just to the media but to his players is, you know, the takeaways. Get those takeaways. Win that battle. And honestly, if you think about last year, this wasn't a great defense. It was a defense that did a great job taking the ball away.
Right.
But in situations, third downs and some of those critical areas where you need stops, you need something else besides takeaways. You need stops. And they weren't getting those. And then in a game when your offense is malfunctioning as it did, and turning it over, and add to that the 11 penalties. You can't ignore that, 11 accepted penalties. And that's 22 in 2 weeks, 11 also against the Saints. That, too, is a problem for this football team. And, look, I don't see a cause for panic. No, the world's not ending. The Bills haven't been exposed as this team that's just not really as good as now their 4-1 record says they are. What it tells me is, yeah, they've got flaws. But name a team in this league, especially this year, that lacks them. Who is dominant? Who is great? Who is unflawed? That just doesn't exist. And a lot of the narratives that went into the season, Baltimore's going to be this, and, you know, look out for those Chiefs, and Philadelphia, the defending champs. You can put together a pretty lengthy list of reasons to question the validity of those teams as, say, Super Bowl contenders. Obviously, for the Bills, should you just dismiss this as just one bad day, as a hiccup kind of game, you could do that, but I won't, and I don't think Sean McDermott will either, nor should Brandon Bean, because the penalties are a trend. Turnovers are not a trend, but what Mike Vrabel and this Patriots team did, and this is really the astounding part of it all, was they took away the one thing that was driving the 4-0 start. That was a run game. They took it away. Now, they were entered the game, you know, ranked second in the league, stopping the run defensively, so they had that going for them. They played as advertised. The Bills weren't finding those lanes. James Cook, that second-level thing where he, you know, accelerates, wasn't happening. There was frustration building within that line. I also think that bled into the penalties that happened. And then what they said was, beat us with your passing game. Now, you say, how insane does that sound? You got an MVP quarterback. You're daring him to beat you with his arm. It really isn't that. Because Mike Vrabel, they know what Josh can do throwing the football. But Josh needs help. And the help is receivers getting open. And their receiving core, which we've known has been substandard, is a problem. That's where I bring in Brandon Bean to the longer fix that, you know, we'll see what the trade deadline brings. Is there another Amari Cooper move? Because they don't have a true number one. Yeah, Dalton Kincaid, his body work this season has been impressive. He's ascending. It isn't enough. That isn't going to carry your pass game. So Kincaid made his plays. They were playing man coverage, the Patriots, the whole game, a lot.
Yep.
And the Bills weren't exploiting that, and Josh was struggling to find open guys. There were times Josh was protected and just moving around and out of sorts, and then what does he do? He forces a throw in the red zone. That's a frustrated quarterback. He called it more of a bad ball than a bad decision. I disagree. It was a horrible decision. Settle for 3 points there in a three-point loss. That came back to bite him. So a lot of things came together to align to hurt the Bills in that game.
One thing, and, you know, I don't like to jump to conclusions, and analytics to me, sometimes are problematic, because especially in the NFL, because few teams play the same schedule. So stats right. can lie, because if you're not playing the same strength of schedule,
right.
you can have inflated stats. But the one thing that has stuck out to me, and Josh Allen is, you know, he's all world. But they had the ball, a touchdown wins that game, and you're forcing New England to have to score a touchdown to beat you. Last year against the Chiefs, they had the ball last, a touchdown or a field goal. This offense that Brady's put together, it's methodical. There's not a lot of big plays unless Shakir breaks four tackles and runs the rest of the way. And, you know, I watched Monday night, I watched the Chiefs and the Jaguars, which was a great game. And the Chiefs, even with their problems, if Mahomes has to come down and score a touchdown, and you saw it near the end of the game, they do. They came down and scored a touchdown, forcing Jacksonville to come down and score a bizarre touchdown. I don't know. Brady has fixed the offense in some regards, but it's probably because they don't have the receivers, the receiving core that some teams have. They can't. If they have to score in a hurry, it's very tough for this team to do that.
It seems, well, again, it takes us back to what they don't have in the way of receivers. And again, I would add, what else did this game show us? How much they miss the best receiver they've had in such a long time.
Right.
He was the guy who left this team at the peak of his performance, Stephon Diggs, in that game. And he's now helping Drake May elevate his game the way he helped Josh Allen elevate his game. They moved up to the class of a Super Bowl contending team because of Allen to Diggs. Simple as that. People can want to criticize that and say, yeah, but he was a pain in the butt. But I still say, figure it out. Manage the ego. I know this is rehashing old turf, and we really don't need to do that, but if you want a reminder of things that could still be working to your benefit, that's it. Having that guy. If you go through the, you know, sort of the history of this team with great receivers, you know, the last great player before Diggs was catching passes was Andre Reed, right? Hall of Famer. He had Lofton there, but I mean, Lofton's body of work included Green Bay. But you have Andre Reed. And then you go through this stretch, and yes, and Eric Moulds emerges as one of the top receivers this team had. But Stephon Diggs moved into a whole different category for this team.
Right.
And in those four seasons, what he did for the Bills was nothing short of remarkable, because he also had Josh Allen. The attitude of the Bills was, but we got Josh Allen, so pretty much he'll elevate others. Well, the level of elevation is the next question. For Diggs, it's going up to, you know, really good to great, or great to even greater. To everyone else, they're just really a bunch of guys. And to think that if Keon Coleman is their answer as the number one, that is, you're fooling yourself. He's not that.
No.
At best, he is a red zone guy who, yes, added some strength and weight and whatever. And he's also a guy that two times now in the short time that he's been with the Bills has had to be disciplined.
What happened Sunday night?
I don't know what the reason was, but Sean McDermott revealed on Monday after the game that the reason he wasn't out there for the first offensive series was for disciplinary action. So, and the only other point that Sean, I say only other point, giving no detail, but use the word maturity. I think immaturity has been his label on his performance. He was called out for that by Sean and Brandon in the offseason. So I don't know that those are specific reasons why his on-field performance hasn't elevated. I won't go there, because who knows. But I'll just talk about the football performance. It's an overestimation to think you're getting that. And yes, Khalil Shakir, special guy, but a special guy who works within a structure. And for Joe Brady's sake, his scheme, the everybody eats mentality, you know, it's a fun slogan, but it's what you say when you don't have
right.
a great
number one.
You have
to come
up
with that, exactly.
You got to come up with something.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know, they scored 30 points. I know they did all those things that would argue against the idea that they weren't, quote, good enough offensively. This year, they have something special going, I think, with this run game. I don't think they're going to run into game after game of James Cook being stonewalled, because he's too good for that, and this whole line is too good for that. But they're going to run into that sometimes. And the question is, what else do you have? Because that disrupted their offense more than anything, Bob.
You know, it reminds me of... going back to my old comic book days, you know, they created the Justice League of America, which you really didn't need as long as you had Superman, because right. he was better than any of them. And that's what the Bills are. They created their own little everybody yeah. eats, because they don't have that one player who could dominate. And I really think they need to work Kincaid more into the offense. You look at the stat, the number of snaps, and I know they like to rotate their tight ends and who blocks and who doesn't block. And they had an ill-fated attempted handoff to Knox. Yeah. Which isn't going to scare anybody, I don't think, running around then, but I know why they
wanted it. Well, or it could have been also a flea flicker. You don't know what the play was. I mean, it had gadgetry written all over it. Maybe it was going to be that. I want to say, in studying the Patriots before that game, I saw opportunities for jet sweeps and a vulnerability on the perimeter if you could break it and get around it, because the Panthers, in getting pounded by them, were having some success with that, as other teams. So I saw, I said something to John Scott from Channel 2 in the press box that it was a thing, and we talked about it even before the game. I said, this is where I think the Bills will find, Joe Brady's going to cook some things up. I think they tried, but fumble and penalty, whatever.
Joe Brady, in his Monday media gathering, was bristled a bit, because earlier in the day, Sean McDermott said that he thought they were trying to be too cute at times.
Yeah.
Which he apparently didn't tell Brady that, because Brady said, you know, kind of questioned, where did you hear that? Mm-hmm. And he was defending kind of the choice to go to Knox. And he also revealed something, that they had it set, you know, if they get a turnover, the very next play is going to be a flea flicker. Mm. And I guess the mentality is
you catch
the dagger down, because now they're feeling a little bit. They've just been rushed off the bench to come back out. And
right.
Whatever,
that's a pretty standard. Yeah. I don't know about the flea flicker specifically, but you do go for a home run shot when the defense gets pulled back onto the field quickly.
Speaking of the Bills' defense, now if you watch the NBC Sunday night games, and I have no problem with Chris Collinsworth. I know there's detractors. He's just doing his job. But he did have something he kept kind of hammering in that second half about, you know, why are they letting May roll out to his right? That's his, like, strength. You got to force him to the other side. And you have Rousseau on that side, and he just has not shown up this year. Early in that game, he made a couple plays.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bills kept trying to force him up the middle. And I know a lot of quarterbacks have problems, and Allen has even talked about that pass rush up the middle is what disrupts.
Right.
But if you're a scrambling quarterback, and if you can throw, and Allen has the ability now to go either way, but May's a young kid. He threw some darts along the sidelines. And the one play where he's getting dragged to the ground, and he throw, I mean, that Dave if that Jones. Wasn't a Josh Allen play, I don't know what was. But the Bills just couldn't seem to figure out. And they had nobody on that side to really pressure him. He was always able to roll out that way.
Yeah. Containment was definitely an issue there. Credit Drake May, too, for his athleticism and ability. A lot of teams try to...
He's going to be a problem for the Bills for years to come.
Well, a lot of teams try to prevent Josh Allen from making those moves. And you know, Josh, athletically, again, a bigger stature, physical guy, that even if you get hands on him, you're not going to keep those hands on him very long, because he can just tear away. Drake May, yes, I think the statement that was made here is he's coming for, and the Patriots are coming for the Bills. Now, are they catching him this year? Are they going to surpass him this year? I doubt it. But I think they're going to continually be a factor. And it'll be interesting to see how long the May to Diggs connection can carry them. Because right now, that is what, in the last two games, has turned on the lights to their offense. And you're talking about Diggs coming back from a very serious knee injury, an aging receiver as well. So can he hold up? Those questions. Hunter Henry, I thought, would have been a bigger factor sooner. Finally, he started getting going a little bit, and May found him. The you know, their running game wasn't great, but just good enough. And certainly at the goal line, they Ramondre Stevenson, they were able to get the walk-in touchdown and all that. I think it comes back to Mike Vrabel. He's an excellent coach. He's beaten the Bills before when he was with Tennessee. He is, and this Patriot team resembles, just in terms of its structure, resembles what you saw from the Bill Belichick teams. Now, you didn't that didn't show up against Pittsburgh. Five turnovers, that was absolutely un-Belichick Patriot-like, and you knew that Vrabel had the most teachable opportunity there with his whole football team on taking care of the football. I think the Bills, to a great extent, went into this game thinking that's the real Patriot team, the one that's going to cough it up. And they did get the punch out, right? They did get a turnover. But them turning it over three times versus the one of the Pats was a difference in the game. But I think it speaks to the fact that the Pats did a better job of taking care of the ball, speaks to Vrabel, the culture, the changeover, but it doesn't happen instantly, and this program is very new there. But I do think that, you know, in a horrible division, and this is the other thing, do the Bills have to be great to win the AFC East? No, they don't. And I think they're going to, again, I think they're going to coast to a sixth consecutive division championship. I still feel that way.
The defense for the Buffalo Bills, two of their best players are Matt Milano and Ed Oliver. Oliver, I thought he would come back for this game. Apparently, he still got that ankle injury. Yeah. But the two guys are coming in from a six-game suspension, which doesn't get talked about a lot. And the question is, what will this team look like after the bye week? How much better will they be with these two guys returning to the lineup? Your thoughts?
Yeah, Bob, I think it's going to be a different-looking defense after the bye. You could see, as many as four new pieces prominently incorporated into this scheme. So let's start with Michael Hoyt. If you can go back to training camp and preseason, there were some flashes from him that were impressive. Now, they were training camp and preseason.
Right.
So you got to put that caveat there. But a lot of energy, a lot of impact can be there. He's been on his own training, so it's been up to him professionally to make sure his body will be ready to hit the ground running. How ready will he be to play football?
Let me stop you there because I've heard two different stories. What I read was for 4 weeks they have to stay away from the facility,
right,
and then they can practice for 2 weeks. Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but it's still a lot of time away.
Oh, absolutely.
And either way, my point is, what version of him do you get coming back from a suspension? And by the way, it's a suspension for PED, for performance enhancing, whatever.
Which he's no longer taking.
Which he's no longer taking. So again, what version do you have? The need that he sought, that he felt to take that, what are you getting? So that'll be one question. I do they need someone? And this is, it's a new name, new body factor that people will be excited about. Yeah, well, he can help. Maybe he can. Larry Ogunjobi, another one. Same situation of the suspension. How did he get suspended? What did he do? When he's played his better football, it's impressive. But we'll see what version you get there. But that's two pieces. Ed Oliver, I think, will be on the field, it sounded like, for the Atlanta game, for the Monday night game. The Matt Milano story, Bob, I said this with John Scott on Sports Talk Live Buffalo on Channel 2.
You're trending, such a name dropper, but go ahead.
I'm going to plugs out there.
Get the promos. Yeah.
Get the promos. Trending toward a sad story. Trending. I'm not going to call it sad yet. I don't know enough about this aggravation of a pectoral injury, but what I do know, and what if we've been around this game or around sports long enough, pec injuries can be devastating, can end not just seasons but careers. This is a guy who just doesn't stay healthy. That's the book on Matt Milano.
Career,
it's gone from all pro, heady, ball hawking, instinctive. I mean, you make a list of all the things you want in a linebacker. Matt Milano has them. But now, what he has had mostly for 3 years running is a guy who can't stay healthy. It's the reason why Joey Bosa was available for the Bills to be signed, because for 3 years running, he couldn't stay healthy.
Right. Well, what, Milano, I think, was a strong safety in college.
Yeah.
And they put him in linebacker. You're a lot closer to the ball, and his body has had it suffered because of that, I think.
Closer to the ball, and whatever he's had to do to bulk himself up. And I say this even straight-laced in terms of legally, you know, the things that don't violate drug rules in the league. But just the lifting and the amount of effort to add body armor and build up his upper body strength, you begin to wonder, can ligaments and tendons, those rubber bands that are inside you, can they hold up?
I'm very proud to say that my son Rob is a doctor of physical therapy.
Right.
I've had this discussion with him. He said that exactly. He said, "Dad, the muscles, these guys are bigger and the muscle grows, but the tendons and ligaments don't. They don't change." Now, Vic, and you're getting into the Italian Sports Hall of Fame. What's the matter with these guys? Come to Chef's, have spaghetti parm. You want to bulk up? Eat a couple plates of spaghetti parm. Bruce Smith was here every Friday with the Bruce Smith version, which was a double helping.
Yeah, and look where it got him.
Exactly, exactly. And the first thing he did when he stopped football was he lost weight because he was too heavy. Vic, I know there was one other thing about Deep. Oh, so, yeah. You know, it's almost, and I won't say it's sad. I mean, nothing's sad. These guys are making a lot of money. But Tre'Davious White, and you got Shaq Thompson. And I mean, these guys are past their prime. Mm. You watch them out there chasing guys because they just can't get in that position.
Right.
And that's what this Bills defense is dealing with. They don't, and you know, Bishop had another whiff, you know, on a long touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
If you're out of position, it's because you either don't know where you have to be, or you can't get to where you have to be.
Yeah. With Bishop, I think it is more of the latter.
Yeah,
he's not too old athletically. And he showed it against the Saints. That was incredible one-handed interception. But with Tre'Davious White, you're right. And actually, it's Tre'Davious White and Christian Benford has not distinguished himself at the other side. So teams feel, I think, when they go after the Bills, you know, you saw it was Spencer Rattler, unaccomplished young quarterback. Now Drake May, who you can't call him accomplished yet, but a young quarterback on the rise. They're finding ability and feeling confident that they can, and their offensive coordinators can attack what the Bills have. Look, I don't think there was any doubt that this team was incomplete, that the Bills, if they're being brutally honest about what they are, when I say they, Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, Terry Pegula, whoever, you know, is in charge of things, let's say, and we know Terry's the ultimate boss, but if they're being honest about what they are, is you got a franchise MVP quarterback who you're going to rely on to be the catalyst in most of your wins. It really hasn't been that way through a 4-1 start. That isn't how you would define. It's mostly, you know, the offensive player of the month, AFC, was James Cook. So it's a running game, but you ultimately say, yeah, but the big Bertha club in your golf bag is number 17. After that, Bob, it's a lot of pieces that you can put around. When you're paying what you pay a franchise quarterback, and even though, you know, he's on average salary, not the highest paid in the league, but that $250 million guarantee is a record-setting amount, a lot of check written for that, is how you've deployed your money. Your cap is not going to give you the luxury of addressing every single spot. You do need the guys like Greg Rousseau, Ed Oliver, you know, the stalwarts that you brought. You needed Milano, who was having a great camp. That's where the encouragement was to come together.
Right.
But back end, safety position, big question mark. Cole Bishop is this up and down guy. We don't know what he is. He was a second round pick. You're expecting him to be much better. And Taylor Rapp is just kind of filling a spot. The corner position, they did draft Max Hairston. Hurt. Is he emerging, expecting him to come back from that knee injury and be something special for this team? I have my doubts. I think we talked about this in the summer What I saw of him, and I think he had just gotten hurt, if I'm not mistaken, before we did our previous appearance here. Bob, he didn't look to me like a guy anywhere
near. He said he was a little lost out
anywhere
there,
near ready. And is he more ready now, you know, with practice time and meeting time?
Well, and you had a kid, another sixth-round pick strong, who really was showing some promise.
Dorian, and now...
And now he's got a neck
and
issue.
And it's a neck injury, and I know they're checking that out as to its severity. So something will give, back to the question of how this defense is going to look, something's going to give, I think, on the back end, and that may be where the addressing of things between now and the... It's November 4th, I believe, the trade deadline comes around. Do they make moves to help the defensive side? That would seem prudent. Do they make moves to help the receiver position? Again, that seems prudent. But with any move, Bob, they have to fit the cap. You don't trade for humans. You trade for contracts.
Exactly.
So do those contracts fit? Have enough of them been paid? And this is something Brandon Bean, he's brilliant at this with his personnel staff. Like with Amari Cooper, a lot of that contract got paid off by the Browns before they got him, so that, you know, made it affordable. And that's the thing. Whatever move they make is going to financially fit before you look at the player and then say, oh, yeah, he's a good pickup.
Vic, I want to congratulate you again for your induction into the Italian Sports Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
That's quite an honor. It's great for, you know, and I can't wait to the next function we get you at DiPaolo's, because Dennis will just, he's going to make up an award for you. He will.
I did talk to him about it, and it was nice to...
Well, don't have him write your speech in Italian, because he struggles with that.
Okay.
Vic Carucci, always a great addition to the podcast. Vic,
thank you.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I know you'll be in Chicago near the end of the month, but try to have a great Halloween, too, because that's a big holiday in the Kaczynski household. So have a great... And you got grandkids.
Believe me, they have been psyched about this and who's going to wear what and what I'm going to wear. They pick...
There you go.
They pick mine. Yep. Apparently, my four-year-old grandson, Oliver, wants me to be Donkey Kong, so...
That's come back. I thought, wow, that was from my almost youth. Vic Carucci, and he, of course, because he's a guest there at Chef's in the famous French Connection Room, gets a couple gift cards to Chef's famous Italian restaurant.
Thank you.
That's it for now. Have yourselves a great night and a much better tomorrow.